Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update, or at least whatever you want to call this, a game profile, game recap, special update. You know, I'm just used to saying live feed update. Welcome to the player game recap of Brayden. It's May 4th. It's May 4th here at the tail end of Big Brother Canada 9, and I'm here to talk about Brayden's game across the entirety of the season leading up to where we are right now, which is in this sort of limbo area where he may or may not be evicted at this point in time. So that's where we are with Brayden, but I will be talking about his game across the season, see what he was up to at various points throughout the game and what he was doing. So we'll be going week by week, talking about, giving as much context as necessary to sort of like understand what was happening throughout the game and then Brayden's role in all of that. So here we go. Let's talk about Brayden's game. Let's talk about it here. One of our final four members, potentially final three. All right. Week one for Brayden. He enters the game on Team Defender. His team loses that first competition, which does leave him vulnerable for eviction. Now, this is unlike any of the other Final Four members. He's actually the only person who was vulnerable in that first week, Kiefer being immune due to his team captain status, and Ty and Tara immune due to their membership on Team Destiny. He quickly forms a bond in the first week with Austin and Julie. That seems to be, you know, Austin and Julie, they make the dolls, which is short lived. He also perhaps has a small connection to Ro. I'm not sure when that forms, if it forms in week two or if it had roots in week one. That's pretty much it. I mean, maybe a small bond with Victoria as well, but again, don't know how large that was at the time. The Sunsetters are going to form, and obviously we know that is Kiefer, Ty, Jed, Toya, Tina, and Beth, and they end up creating a side alliance which consists of Jed, Ty, Beth, and Austin. So Austin is going to end up entering one of the Sunsetter side alliances without Brayden. That's obviously not great for Brayden. The vote seems set on Josh in the first week because he tries to paint the guys as a big target by saying that they're trying to form the Pretty Boys 2.0. But when Toya flips the vote last minute against Julie, Julie ends up going home instead. Now, the vote flips against Julie in part because Julie was better connected. She had connections to Austin, Josh, Victoria, Austin, Brayden, and Victoria. And Josh would remain a target for the rest of the house, somebody that people would put on the block, whereas Julie might not be. So with that, Julie is evicted 11-2, and Brayden's game is immediately hamstringed. I mean, this is devastating to Brayden's game. He made a connection to Julie, and Austin is out there, you know, being lulled in by the Sunsetters, by the majority, secret majority alliance. And his other potential ally just gets voted out by said secret majority alliance. And it's not looking good. It's not looking good for Brayden right now. We head into week two, and Austin wins the HOH, which is obviously massive for Brayden here. It does leave his team vulnerable yet again. However, that's fine because it's his ally Austin, and he's not going to be touching the block. Now she wants to take a shot at Kiefer, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, considering he ends up being probably the best strategic player in the house, and he is a part of this majority alliance. But she's doing so because he rooted against her in the HOH competition, which, congrats, Kiefer, you are somehow still the best strategic player in the game, consider even though you rooted against the winner of the HOH in week two, openly in the HOH competition. Toya's plan to keep Josh as a decoy works very well, considering the fact that Austin ends up putting Kiefer up next to Josh. And so the plan is obviously that they're going to end up keeping Kiefer in the game and evicting Josh, whether that's, you know, what Austin wants or not. Now, Brayden gets even closer to Austin this week as they distance themselves from any connection they had with Julie. In fact, the conversation that they have early on the feeds seems to me more so like an initial bonding conversation than anything else. I do not know how close they were prior to this week, but this is definitely the week where they come much closer than they had been prior. And they spend much of the week together. And one of the primary topics that they're going to be talking about to each other and everyone else is, what, Julie? Who is Julie again? I mean, I wasn't even close to Julie. We didn't have any alliance or anything. I mean, she sucked. So don't even think about, well, I mean, we weren't even close. We like each other, but no, we don't like Julie. So that's kind of the game here for Brayden and Austin. Now, Vic does try to get Austin to target Toya, but her and Brayden don't think that's a good idea, or I should say at least she doesn't think it's a good idea. Brayden, even as early as this week here, you know, Austin wants to go after Kiefer, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. Vic is like, hey, what about Toya? And Austin's like, nah. And Brayden's like, yeah, nah. In this second week here, Tara is going to end up catching Brayden making fun of her and vents about it to Toya. Interesting thing to note about this conversation, of course, is that in the conversation that Tara has with Toya, she mentions that having seen Brayden, having seen his personality, she really expected to like him a lot and to be like good friends with him. So she was very disappointed when she caught him making fun of her. And he was, in fact, making fun of her. He did not like Tara, and was, you know, like many people in the house, saying bad things about her. But obviously later in the game, they're going to end up bonding a little bit. You know, I have to imagine this comes back to Tara's initial draw to Brayden. And I think this is Brayden's biggest asset in the game, is it's his personality. You know, you look at Brayden, you see Brayden, you hear Brayden talk, and you get a sense of his personality, and you're like, that guy's cool. Like, I want to be friends with that guy. That he is just a very likable person. And that, in my opinion, is, again, by far the best component of any game that he is able to play. So Austin ends up trying to pull Brayden into the Sunsetter Side Alliance, which she, of course, thinks is the main alliance, but it's not. But Beth and Ty are going to end up blocking it. They don't want him involved because they actually wanted to target Brayden soon. They wanted Austin isolated. So Brayden was actually a big target of theirs going into the following week. Kyle and Roe also think that the Side Alliance is real, and that this whole like Jed, Ty, Beth, Austin, and they actually thought Brayden was in on it, but no. And so they end up working on building a resistance to this perceived alliance, and this backfires on them, which I'll talk about a little bit more in just a second. Austin and Brayden are convinced that, you know what? We don't want Kiefer out. We want Josh out instead of Kiefer. This is due to Toya's influence primarily, talking about how annoying Josh is. Josh starts bringing Austin tea, and, you know, everyone says that Josh sucks. And she's just like, you know what? Josh sucks. I want Josh to go. And Brayden's like, yeah. Then that becomes moot anyway because Kiefer wins the veto. And when Kiefer wins the veto, the plan is still just to take out Josh. So Austin ends up putting Roe on the block next to Josh as a pawn. And this is probably the first solid example of Brayden's kind of passivity in the game. I think if I'm looking at the major qualities that Brayden has in the game, number one is his likability. His personality, great personality, very likable. Number two, extremely passive in the game. Very, very few active moves made from Brayden throughout the entirety of the game. Even when he wins power, he doesn't seem to make active moves in the game. And this is a great example of it, right? He has a little bit of a connection to Roe. Roe is somebody that has been talking to Brayden. Roe and Kyle initially wanted to work with Brayden and Austin, but Austin was standoffish with Kyle, and Kyle felt like she had something else, which she thought she did at the time. And so he was convinced that she was with the guys, which she was. Just it wasn't the real thing. And Roe had wanted to try and pull Brayden, but they figured if Austin was with the guys, then Brayden must be as well. So instead they went to Toya, Tina, Kiefer, and Tara, which, you know, two out of four were somewhat correct at least, but it really did not help, their situation. But the point being that Brayden has very few connections in this house. He's got, of the people on his team, of the people that are eligible to be nominated here, obviously Austin is the HOH. She could put up Victoria, she could put up Kyle, she could put up Tina, those are people on her team. Never mind. She could put up Kiefer. She had put up Kiefer, she had put up Josh, she could put up Toya. She could put up Rohan, Jed, or Brayden. So obviously he doesn't want her to put him up. Putting up Toya, putting up Jed, both of those would have been great options here as either a pawn or a target. Ro was the person that Brayden was closest to of the potential options to put up on the block. And he literally just saw what happened to Julie the prior week. When he was a little bit close to Julie and she was basically evicted for it. And his own ally is the HOH. He puts in zero work to try and prevent Roe from going on the block. He does nothing to do to prevent it. There's nothing here. Very passive play from Brayden, and it nearly again devastates their game here. It ends up working out because the Sunsetters are a whole mess, but it definitely was a big shot to their whole game. Roe goes up on the block. Kyle and Roe's attempts to build a resistance to Jed and Ty is ratted out to the Sunsetters by Kiefer and Toya. And they go back and forth for days on whether they should flip the vote on Roe, which obviously would have been devastating to Braden's game. If Roe leaves, then Braden remains the main target. So this was lucky for Braden, right? That Kyle and Roe were not targets. The Sunsetters did not want them out at this point in time. End up sort of putting their foot in their mouth because they misread the House and they approached the wrong people about forming a resistance. Braden, who was a target for the Sunsetters because they wanted to isolate Austin, ends up moving down the list just a little bit because of Kyle and Roe's actions. But with Roe on the block, Roe about to go home, it would have gone straight back to Braden the following week if that had gone through, and the Sunsetters would have been able to maintain their secret majority run. It was looking like it could have just been a steamroll. And in that kind of season, a player like Braden doesn't last very long at all. The passive approach is not effective at all against players that have any idea of what they're doing. Luckily for Braden, the Sunsetters didn't have any idea what they were doing. So the flip-flopping goes unnoticed by Austin and Braden for days. And they're just kind of chilling, waiting for everyone to obviously vote out Josh. Up until the day of the vote, when they finally find out what has been happening, and they're pissed about it. And that's because, again, the Sunsetters really screw up and get caught in that final day leading up to the vote, running around. They've been talking to everyone in the House except for Austin and Braden and Kyle and Roe, and basically forced the two pairs together. And that gave Kyle and Roe, obviously, the knowledge that they need to be working with Austin and Braden finally. Now, they had been hanging out all week, Austin, Braden, Kyle, Roe, but they didn't think they'd be able to work together again because of the reasons that I stated before. So it was a natural fit for them to come together, but it really was the Sunsetters that made the push to make it happen. And this, of course, as I said, is a huge break for Braden. The Sunsetters squander a massive lead they had in the game, and he transitions into a much better position in the House when the Sunsetters not only expose themselves and force Braden into an alliance, but they also screw up and don't end up voting out Roe, which helps make Roe and Kyle the bigger targets in the House. And all of a sudden, Braden goes from next target in a massive steamroll out in week three to somebody who's going to make it easy pass to the end game because it's a two-sided House and he is one of the lesser threats in the game. And so his game equity in general skyrockets because of the Sunsetter disaster. Josh is then evicted unanimously, and we head into week three, where another good outcome for Braden occurs because Vic is going to win this HOH, and she wants Toya out. She is going to take the first strike at the Sunsetters. She forms the Oddballs Alliance in resistance to the Sunsetters, which Braden is a part of. Braden and Austin are also going to form a sort of sub-alliance with Vic called the Glossy Posse, that's similar to the Dolls, not going to have much of an impact or any sort of real longevity. Now, within the Oddballs, what we have is Kyle, Roe, Austin, Braden are kind of named Carb, right? They kind of have this bond because Josh called them out in a House meeting the week prior, and they were the only people not in on the conversations about a flip. And so they also hang out socially and they like each other. So that's kind of a foursome to some degree. And then you also had the Glossy Posse. So on the surface, it kind of looks like Austin and Braden are perhaps in the center of this. But the reality is that that Kyle and Roe wanted to take Tina and Tara to the final four, much more so than they did Austin and Braden, at least at this time. Obviously, when Austin ends up showmancing Kyle, that likely would have changed a little bit. But assuming that things go down to the end, Tina and Tara still had the better positioning here, not only within the Sunsetters, but also within the House at large, given the fact that they were able to play both sides. Victoria, obviously, again, you'd think with the glossy posse, perhaps had a decent position, but Victoria was the oddball out of the oddballs in this group. So Victoria goes ahead and puts up Toya and Kiefer. Then we see that Brayden and Austin are going to continue to bond with Kyle and Roe, and they let them know. Kyle and Roe let Brayden and Austin know, hey, Ty and Jed tried to make a truce with us. They want to target you guys and not us. Isn't that funny? I mean, we're not going to buy into it, but they're idiots. And this is true. Ty and Jed on the other side and Beth have been discussing that they see that the Braydens of the world, the Tinas and the Taras of the world, are going to just skate by, and they have free passes because of the luck of how the season ended up formatting. And they're frustrated by it, and so they want to make a truce with Kyle and Roe to go after the Braydens and the Tinas and the Taras. And so they attempted to make the said truce, but the problem with this plan is that Kyle and Roe are not idiots, and they said, oh, absolutely. And then after Ty and Jed left, they laughed in the faces of the people who weren't there anymore. Austin was still the tie. Again, Austin and Brayden should have free passes, but in a way they didn't. Austin less so than Brayden. We then go ahead and get to Jed winning the veto. He ends up not using the veto because Vic threatens to put Ty on the block. And the Sunsetters still somehow remain in the dark all the way up until they're blindsided by Toya's eviction. Right before the eviction, Brayden is forced to lie and pretend he doesn't know what's happening. And that's because Victoria basically gave the game away by saying this is all Beth's fault before the eviction happened. And they were like, wait, what's Beth's fault? And then they went to Brayden and they were like, is something going on? And he was like, I don't know. What do you mean? They're like, is Toya being evicted? Like, no, not that I'm aware of. Then, of course, as I said, Toya's evicted in a blindside 6-3. We head into week 4. Austin very nearly wins this HOH as well. And this is a great result for Brayden yet again, at least in the sense that it continues to paint Austin as a big target. And that means that he should be safe as long as Austin doesn't win the veto or somebody doesn't use the veto on Austin. Apart from that, it is not a great outcome for Brayden because Kiefer ends up winning the tiebreaker between him and Austin. And Kiefer is going to take a shot at Brayden's alliance. He wants Kyle out. So Kyle and Roe try to pitch that Austin and Brayden should go up to Kiefer. Kiefer does not want to do that. Kiefer wants Kyle out of this game. He is not going to do anything else. And luckily for Brayden, again, Kiefer is somebody who has been wronged by Austin. And so Austin is the backup person here or Kiefer, and not Brayden. And in addition to that, Kiefer likes Brayden. He's a likable guy, and he doesn't want to have to put him up if he doesn't have to. Kyle and Roe try to pitch Austin and Brayden should go up. Not going to happen. They try to pitch Vic should go up. Not going to happen. It doesn't work. The loyalty here, of course, is very non-existent at this point. Ty ends up pushing for Austin and Vic nominations, but Kiefer also does not bite on that. Kyle and Roe are going to go up on the block. Again, any conversation that Brayden has with Kiefer is very much like, yes, definitely, 100%, yes. Roe ends up winning the veto. Kyle and Roe end up pushing again for Vic to be the replacement nominee with no success. The argument is that, hey, Vic is out on an island. You won't piss anybody off by putting Vic on the block. So that's your best move. They tried to rope Tina and Tara into campaigning for them as well, to try to get Vic up on the block. But Tina and Tara are too smart for this. They recognize that this is a trap and they do not fall for it. They want to continue to try to play the middle and they don't want to piss off Victoria. Austin and Brayden, on the other hand, when Kyle and Ro tried to get them to make this pitch, they do fall into this trap and they do pitch for Vic to go up on the block as a replacement. At which point Kiefer, of course, springs his trap and uses their campaigning to flip Victoria against them. This is a massive, massive mistake for Austin and Brayden, and it is going to cost them one of their lives in the game in the following week, as Brayden and the rest of Carb are forced to apologize to Vic when she confronts them about this fact. But at this point, it is too little too late. So Austin ends up going on the block as a replacement nominee. And Victoria is now out against them with a vengeance. So Brayden and Austin at this point in the game want either Kiefer or Ty out next. Those are their targets. They're frustrated with Kiefer for putting Austin on the block, and Ty's is Ty. He's the big target in the game right now. Kiefer is also going to work on turning Tina and Tara against Brayden and Austin at this point, but Kyle and Ro vouch for them. They say, Austin and Brayden are not coming for you, we promise, and it doesn't end up working. Tina and Tara are still on board with the oddballs at this point. Now, Tara does try to flip the vote against Kyle, but it ends up backfiring, and Kyle ends up evicted 7-1. We head into week 5, where Victoria is the invisible HOH. She wants to target Austin, because the glossy posse means nothing. No glossy posse. She's eating that chapstick. She puts up Austin and Brayden, or she puts Austin and Brayden on slop and then nominates them. They're extremely hurt. How dare somebody not only put us on slop, but also nominate us? Not only nominate us, but also put us on slop. What kind of monster would do that to us, Victoria? What kind of monster? They think that Ty is that kind of monster. They think that Ty did this to them. Again, this all stems from that mistake that they made campaigning to get Victoria on the block when it was never going to happen, and then that being used to turn Victoria against them. Victoria has no business making this move at all. And it is entirely down to Kiefer's maneuvering and Austin and Brayden's mistakes that they are on the block this week on an invisible HOH week. We go to the Austin and Brayden. Their only hope is that they need to get somebody to use the veto on them. So they both campaign to Ty, who they think is the invisible HOH at this time. Ty, we understand why you might have put us on the block, but wouldn't it be great if you used the veto on us and then we could work together? Ty is like, well, I'm not the invisible HOH, and also no. Ro ends up winning the veto anyway, and Ro has promised that he would use the veto on Austin. So Austin and Brayden are very pleased. They were hoping that Ro would win the veto. This is a low point in Brayden's game because he is actively campaigning for the veto to be won and or used on or by Austin. That would have sent Brayden home this week. This would have been the end of Brayden's game if the veto had been used on Austin. We are very certain of that, right? Granted, the Sunsetters love to change their minds, but Victoria was very set on taking out one of Austin or Brayden. If Austin came off the block, then Brayden would have been the target. We know that Kiefer would have helped protect Tina or Tara, who would have gone up in their place, likely Tara. The trio would have followed along. The trio was not really the people in control of the vote this week. So it would have been Brayden's end if his own campaign to use the veto on on us would have been successful, right? So that's where we're going to go here. Luckily for Braden, Roe has felt like he's been making some progress with the trio, and he has. He's actually made a decent amount of progress with the trio. Unfortunately for him, he squandered all of that progress by trying to flip Beth against them. Unbeknownst to him, it is pointless to try to appease the trio by not using the veto. And if he had known that he was not doing well there, then he might have used that veto. And then who knows? Perhaps we would have seen something happen there against Braden. But it does not happen. And there we are. We are in a spot where the veto is not used on Austin, and that means that Braden is safe this week, or at least close to it.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So Braden and Austin are extremely pissed that Roe did not do this again, though. This is what's going to save Braden's life in the game. Tara is again going to try and flip this vote, this time against Braden. But luckily again for Braden, this is not going to work. Victoria is set against Austin. Austin is just the bigger threat. She has come closer to winning more competitions, and she has won any competition. Now, this is the turning point in Braden's game. It's the low point, but it's also the turning point because as Austin is evicted unanimously, which is going to force Braden to hang out with anyone but Austin. And I can't stress this point enough. Up until this following week, week six, for the first 5 weeks of the game, Braden does nothing without Austin. They are attached at the hip. Even at the roast, they literally spoke in unison to give their roast. They would literally like, oh, where are you going next? You're going to the bathroom? All right, I'll meet you there in a minute. And then we'll come back over here. They could not be seen in anybody's presence without the other one being there. And it is only when Austin is about to leave and she starts spending a little bit of time with Kyle that Braden ends up finding himself without his hip partner. And all of a sudden he finds somebody else to cozy up with. And that person is going to be Ty. They end up hooking up a little bit, just a little bit. There's a certain percentage of hookups here. And Braden does not know what Ty's true intentions are, where he doesn't know exactly what this means, but he is interested to see where it goes. And so Austin is evicted unanimously, and we are going to head into week six, where Beth is going to win the HOH. Beth wins the HOH. She wants Tara out of the game. She thinks that Tara does nothing for her, and she wants to keep in Ro so that Ro will continue to go after the guys. That would be great for Beth. So that's her plan. Tina and Tara, they have other plans. They rat Vic out to Beth. Vic has been trying to convince Tara to go after Beth, trying to tell Tara that Beth is coming after her. And so when they rat Vic out to Beth, she decides, okay, I want to backdoor Beth. Beth is the plan instead. Now, Brayden, without Austin in the game, is going to spend all of his time in the HOH room, hanging out with the trio, hanging out with Ty. And for a little while, it seems like the new normal, similar to what Ro did. I mean, when Kyle left, Ro was hanging out with the trio all the time, and they accepted him with open arms until he ruined himself. Brayden is going to do the same thing, and it's going to produce similar results. Ro and Tara end up going on the block. The intention here is probably to backdoor Victoria. Brayden finds out that Victoria was the invisible HOH this week, and he's not too pleased about it. So he plots with Ro to hopefully ensure that the backdoor Vic plan goes through. So that is part of his goal here. He is not able to convince Ty or Jed, but he is able to help give Beth some ammo. When Beth comes to Brayden after deciding she wants Vic to go and getting some pushback from the guys, she approaches Brayden with the idea that, like, hey, can you help me convince Ty? He can't, but he can give her some ammo that she can use to help make the case against Victoria. And that's because Victoria has told Brayden a lot of things about Beth he is able to pass along. So he rats Vic out and throws her under the bus and gives Beth a bit of that ammo. Ro checks in with Brayden regularly to make sure that, you're hanging out with them a lot, but you're still down to take a shot at them, right? And Brayden's like, absolutely still down to take a shot at these guys. Ro ends up winning the veto, and Victoria does go up on the block, which of course is good news for Brayden here. Beth ends up encouraging Vic to call a house meeting. In the house meeting, Victoria exposes the now defunct Oddballs and subsequently rats Brayden out for continuing to work with Ro, which is not great for Brayden. The trio is sickened. How dare he? Why is Brayden in here all the time? Why is he involved in all of our conversations? He needs to get out of here. We need to not talk in front of him anymore. He needs to stop hanging out in the HOH room. We do not want him here. So again, similar to Ro, this newfound acceptance into the trio is short-lived here for Brayden. And Kiefer, who was upset that Brayden was trying to get in with the trio, that is Kiefer's role, has also been trying to poison the trio against Brayden. So once Victoria rats Brayden out, Kiefer is able to come in here and be like, see, what have I been telling you? And Brayden's spot here is done. After a week of waffling, the trio finally decides to evict Victoria, and she ends up leaving in a unanimous vote. When Victoria speaks to me, her jury list is Kiefer number one, Brayden number two, Ty number three, and Tara number four. When she talks about Ty, she mentions specifically he's played a good game, but he burned me. And she's in there with Ro, of course, who I'll talk about in just a second, who likes Brayden. We head into a double eviction. Kiefer wins the HOH. He puts up Brayden and Ro. Now, this is again a spot where if Ro wins this veto, Brayden is gone. 100%. There is no question about it. If Ro wins this veto, Brayden is out of the game. And he has won the last three vetoes, so it's looking a little strange. Luckily, though, Ty is able to take this one out, and he does not use the veto, and Roe is going to be evicted unanimously. His jury list, when he spoke to me, was the same as Victoria's. It was Kiefer first, Brayden second, Ty third, and Tara fourth. When he talked about Brayden, he said, hey, Brayden has an excellent social game. He is somebody that I would be happy to vote for in the end. Now, we'll talk about Brayden's social game in a second, but I'm going to disagree with Roe on this assessment. Social game is something that I think is separate than sort of just like your general personality. And so we'll get to that when we get to the summary. We go to week seven. Jed wins this HOH and Brayden helps him win. Tara is very frustrated with both Brayden and Kiefer for gifting the win to the trio. She admits to Jed and Ty that she would have targeted them if she had won the HOH, and thus Tara becomes the target. This definitely helps Tara become the target over Brayden. Brayden likely would have been the target this week if Tara had not done this. And so she ends up going up next to Tina. Tara, though, realizes that maybe she should try to play the game a little bit more, and she makes a pitch to Beth that she needs her in this game, and Beth decides after Tara's pitch that she wants Brayden out of the game, so she pitches that they should backdoor Brayden to the guys, and they agree to it. They're very frustrated with Brayden because of, again, they're still mad about him being exposed as for working with Roe, and now that they know that he's against them and all, they can't stand him. He doesn't do anything but hang out with them. He is treating them like they're Austin and he won't leave them alone. Jed just wants to make out with Beth all day and Brayden keeps popping in and stopping it from happening. And Ty is in particular does not want to have to deal with the cuddling anymore. It's a bit much. And he really hopes that he or Brayden doesn't win the HOH because then he would be forced to deal with it on a much larger scale. And so they're like, you know what? Yeah, let's get Brayden out. Why not? The plan is to backdoor Brayden. Tara ends up winning the veto. And there you go. The plan should be in play here, except Jed changes his mind, as Jed wants to do, he wants to take out Kiefer instead. You know what? Kiefer is a bigger target and bigger threat at this point. This is, again, a game-saving moment for Brayden. Unfortunately, we don't know a whole lot about why it happened. The plan was very much set in stone to take out Brayden, and it had been all week, or at least most of the week, and then the feeds came back from the veto, and Jed was just like, We're doing Kiefer. And what we saw in the episode was,
oh, we caught, couldn't we?
We don't know exactly what changed here, apart from the fact that they just kind of went, you know what? Kiefer is the bigger move. Kiefer is the bigger threat. And so they instead decided to put Kiefer on the block. They tell Kiefer, everyone cries. And they all get upset that Brayden, Tina, and Tara are still in the game. They don't deserve to be in the game. Ty wants Tara out next, then Brayden. He wants Tina in the final four at this point in the game. Tara checks in with Brayden to make sure he's still against the trio. And he expresses to the cameras afterwards that he is surprised that she's not targeting him. And he doesn't know what to do. So where is Brayden's head at in this moment? I think it has been that he thinks he's still working with the trio, and he thinks that Tara is against him, perhaps because of Tara's explosion during the HOH competition where she called everyone cowards. I'm not sure. But it seems like after Ro left, he transitioned fully to just working with the trio. At least until Kiefer then tells Brayden, hey, I was in an alliance called the Sunsetters. Kiefer, who feels burned by the trio, tells Brayden about the Sunsetters, and they end up bonding over their late night chats. Thus, when Kiefer ends up flipping the trio back around to keeping him, this actually kind of works out for Brayden because he is now cool with Kiefer and they've bonded, and they're going to work together. So Tina is evicted 3-1, and her jury list is Kiefer number 1, Tara number 2, Ty number 3, and Brayden last. She does mention that Brayden could improve his odds with her if he did something. But this is her list. I do think that that Tara would be that Kiefer would be number 1, Tara would be number 2. That's locked in for Tina. I do think Ty and Brayden are a little bit more interchangeable here, but we will have to wait and see on that one. So we head into week 8 and Tara wins this HOH. Huge, huge, huge for Brayden, because if Tara does not win this HOH, then things are looking very bad. It's Brayden and Tara on the block, and one of them is for sure going home, and the trio stays intact going into the final 5. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good, but Tara pulls out the win. And with this win, she pulls in Brayden and Kiefer. It's 3v3, they make a final 3. They end up making a billion final 2s. But the time has finally come to take a shot at the trio. Jed and Ty are going to go up on the block. Beth, though, decides she wants to make her mark on the game and comes up with a plan to get Tara to nominate Brayden so that they can vote him out. But Kiefer rats her out and gives Brayden the heads up. So when Beth approaches him about volunteering for the block, he's like, no. Because guys, Brayden would never voluntarily go on the block. Come on. That would never happen. He is not that kind of player. Kiefer also helps flip Ty after this, and Ty and Brayden's relationship really starts to blossom after Ty feels like Beth was trying to get him out. That's the line that Kiefer sells Ty, that, hey, this plan was a plan to get you out, Ty, which, of course, it was not. But Ty seems to buy into it and is very pissed at Beth and Jed from this point forward. He points to this moment as one of the turning moments for him in the game. And so from this point forward, Ty and Brayden's relationship really starts to blossom. Tara ends up putting Jed and Beth on the block instead of Jed and Ty. Then when Jed wins the veto, Kiefer comes up with a plan to get him to use it on Beth. Tara pitches this to Jed. Kiefer and Beth help sell it, and the plan is on. Jed is going to do it. Ty is going to go up on the block, except last minute, Tara changes her mind. She does not want to piss off Jed by putting up Ty. So she tells Brayden, look, I know I told you I would never put you up this week because I don't trust that they won't vote to keep you. But I'm going to need you to go up on the block anyway. But look, if you don't want to do it, if there's any part of you that doesn't want to go up on the block, just say the word and I won't put you up there. And Brayden says, nah, that's good. I trust you. Yeah. 100%. So Brayden goes up on the block in a spot where Kiefer, Ty, and Beth are the votes against Jed. And I don't, if there's any part of you that says, well, he didn't get voted out, then you should know that it's still way better for him if he's not on the block, because then he gets to be one of the people voting out the other person. And he at least gets 1 week where he doesn't look like an incredibly passive player. But of course he is. So he agrees to go up on the block. He is willing to go on the block. It turns out, this is, like, literally, this is just as bad as him agreeing to do Beth's plan, because it's the exact same as Beth's plan. Literally, this is Beth's plan, except a few days later. So Jed uses the veto on Beth. Brayden goes up as the replacement. Everybody ends up making final twos with everybody. He makes a final 2 with Ty. Kiefer makes a final 2 with him. Tara makes a final 2 with him. Tara makes a final 2 with Ty. Tara makes a final 2 with Kiefer. So on and so forth. Brayden bonds with Ty much more significantly this week. They continue to hang out and cuddle and all that stuff. And it all works out in the end as Jed is evicted unanimously. Jed's jury list when he speaks to me is Kiefer first, Tara and Ty are tied in the middle, and Brayden is in last place. He does mention that Brayden could maybe move up the ranks if he does anything in the game. We head to the fake double eviction. Ty wins the HOH and puts Beth and Tara on the block. Oh, sorry, I should be counting these. So the Jed is the fourth person in this jury. Brayden now has is down 4 votes to Kiefer, of course, but it is actually tied. Roe and Victoria put Brayden second place behind Kiefer, so they are both above Ty and Tara, or he is above both Ty and Tara for them, but below Ty and Tara for Jed and Tina. So it's 2-2. In the fake double eviction, Ty wins the HOH. He puts up Beth and Tara. He wants Tara gone, even though Kiefer and Brayden do not. Brayden ends up winning the veto, his first competition, and does not use the veto to help get what he wants, right? He wants Beth gone. He wants Tara to stay. Easy way to do that. Use the veto on Beth. Use the veto on Tara. Make sure that Beth goes home if that's what he wants. Or he can make a big move. Use the veto on Tara and send Kiefer out the door. Or use the veto on Beth and send Kiefer out the door. He does not. He does not use the veto. And when Ty tells him he wants Tara gone, he says, okay. And he votes out Tara. Misses an opportunity to finally make a mark on the game here with his first bit of power. Now, Tara is going to beat Jed to come back into the game, and that's going to give Brayden a second chance at the week, and he wins the next HOH here in week 9. His second competition in a row. This is exactly what he needs in this game. Some power. He needs to make an imprint on this game. He needs to do something, right? He decides he's going to put up Beth and Tara. Again, it's the same nominations as Ty, and that's, you know, it is what it is. But this time, at least, he wants Beth to leave, and that is going to be the impact he makes on the game, is that Beth is going to leave this time and not Tara. So Brayden ends up winning the veto as well, which makes 3 competitions in a row, which is fantastic for his game if you care about competitions and not necessarily what people do with competitions. He ends up not using the veto, and on her way out, Beth is going to warn everyone that Kiefer is going to win this game and that Brayden is making a huge mistake by not taking a big shot because he has nothing on his resume. Now, luckily, at the same time, Ty has been massively screwing up his jury management with both Jed and Beth, and this, more than anything, may be the reason why Brayden ends up winning this game. The Ty screwing up his jury management thing. Beth is evicted unanimously, and when she speaks to me, her jury list is Kiefer number 1, Tara number 2, Brayden number 3, and Ty last, because he's been screwing up. Now, again, that's pretty massive, because now Brayden is down 3-2 against Tara, but he is up 3-2 against Ty, obviously still losing 5-0 against Kiefer, but up 3-2 on Ty. And if Beth is able to talk to Jed and get Jed to put Brayden above Ty as well, then that means it's actually 4-1 against Ty right now. And that is a great place to be for Brayden, considering that Ty thinks he handily beats Brayden. So this is really starting to look like one of those Ty makes a mistake and Brayden wins the game scenarios. So in week 10, this final week, Ty wins the final 4 HOH. Both him and Brayden want to be in the final 2 together. He nominates Kiefer and Tara. Tara ends up winning the veto, and she doesn't think that anybody's taking her in either scenario. Seems to be leaning toward evicting Kiefer. That is what we expect likely happened, but we do not know for sure. It is possible that Brayden is evicted here. If he was evicted, I would say it is at least 80% because he slept in the same bed as Ty the night after the final 4 veto when he lost and Tara had the power to evict one of them, and he showed exactly where he stood, and he continually tells Tara that he may have feelings for Ty, which, you know, is a choice. So That's the game here for Brayden. You know, you'll notice that there's not a whole lot of action that Brayden took here. A lot of this game recap was recapping what other people did and how that impacted Brayden. And that's because Brayden, again, is not an active player. And, you know, that's not necessarily a knock on Brayden. I mean, I think that he, you know, he's a likable guy. Let's summarize his game here. Brayden enters the game. He bonds with just a few people. He connects with Austin, Julie, and Roe a little bit. Julie is soon evicted, and he sticks like glue to Austin. His social game leaves a significant amount to be desired in this early game, in my opinion. When Roe says that Brayden has a good social game, I very much disagree. He's never seen without Austin in the game and is caught talking trash to other players. He makes zero strategic connections in a week where his closest ally is the HOH. And he is, in my opinion, easily the worst player in the entire game at this point in time. Again, Austin is the first real HOH in week two. And Brayden uses that opportunity to make zero social or strategic connections outside of Austin, Roe, and maybe a little bit Vic. That's social. Strategic, zero. Zero strategic connections in a week where his closest ally is HOH, and that's because he sticks like glue to his closest ally and just talks socially with her, barely talking strategy, and it doesn't seem to have any idea where he is or what game he's playing at this point. He catches a massive, massive break when the Sunsetters can't manage a single simple flip that would have decimated what was left of his game and led to a potential steamroll here, and they completely exposed themselves. This gives Kyle and Roe an opportunity to help form a resistance alliance after previously suspecting that they couldn't trust Brayden and Austin, and again, this is huge for Brayden in the game, and his game equity rises significantly here. Vic ends up winning the next HOH, which is another huge break for Brayden, and she goes after Toya, and the oddballs officially form. Now, he's still not set up very well within the oddballs, and he's still not playing actively at all or leaving Austin's side, but his positioning, again, has improved significantly. Kiefer wins the next HOH, and he helps Kiefer flip Victoria against himself by making a huge mistake when him and Austin fall into that trap of trying to get Victoria nominated. Being generally agreeable and the least threatening of the four on the losing end of this stick should keep him safe, relatively safe, for a little while longer. That is until Victoria wins the invisible HOH, and that mistake from that week comes back to bite him in a big way as him and Austin are nominated for eviction. And he actively campaigns for his own eviction multiple times as he tries to get people to use the veto on Austin. Luckily for him, he fails, and Austin is not vetoed off the block. When Roe doesn't use that veto, it saves Brayden's life in the game, and Austin leaves, which helps Brayden out in many ways. With Austin finally out of the game, Brayden finally branches out and spends all of his time in the HOH room with the trio during Beth's reign. This is initially successful, and he's able to help keep the Vic backdoor on track, playing both sides for part of the week. But when Vic rats out the oddballs and exposes that he's still working with Roe, the trio turns on him and he falls into a very precarious position yet again. He is able to make a bond with Ty, but that bond is very, very loose at this point and pretty much broken by the time that he is ratted out. In the double eviction, Kiefer nominates him next to Roe, and yet again, he is going to be evicted with the wrong veto outcome, but again, manages to survive due to somebody else winning the veto, and Roe loses that competition and is voted out. Brayden now feels locked into working with the trio and helps Jed win the following HOH, a move perhaps made out of desperation, thinking that he couldn't win anyway. But it doesn't win him any favors, as the trio is sick of him being around them all the time, and he quickly becomes the backdoor target. But he is saved by the indecisiveness of the trio as they decide to backdoor Kiefer instead. This is another big break for Brayden, of course, as Kiefer then spills about the Sunsetters and ends up staying anyway. Tara finally pulls out a clutch win for both her and Brayden, because this is, again, great for Brayden, and pulls Brayden and Kiefer in to take a shot at the trio. Kiefer uses Beth's absurd plan to fully flip Ty against the trio and get Beth nominated next to Jed. Kiefer also comes up with a plan to get Jed to use that veto on Beth, which eventually ends up with Brayden allowing himself to be put up as a pawn next to Jed with Ty. With Ty, Kiefer, and Beth being the votes. This is the key example of the passivity that Brayden has displayed throughout the game, though there are plenty of other examples. Ty wins the following HOH, nominating Tara and Beth, wanting to evict Tara. Brayden doesn't want her gone, but when he wins the veto, he doesn't use it and votes Tara out. After Tara wins her way back in, Brayden wins his second and third competitions in a row and exerts his will on the house to make sure that Beth leaves instead of Tara this time. With at least some momentum behind him on the backs of those competition wins, Brayden heads into the final four, where Ty wins the HOH and Tara wins the veto, leaving him potentially vulnerable to Tara evicting him, though she did seem to be leaning more toward evicting Kiefer. So, Brayden. Brayden is a passive player. That is Brayden. Everything about his game is passive, from the decisions that he makes, the people that he talks to, and even just the way that he speaks to people. It is passive, passive, passive. There are very few examples of him making a move that was fully his own in the entirety of his game. Similarly to Tara, he's a player that didn't have any agency until the late game, when he started winning a couple of competitions. Unlike Tara, when people say that Tara wasn't playing for the first half of the game, that's not true. Tara was. But Brayden was not. And arguably, Brayden hasn't been playing the game until you know, this late game, where even then he is in part playing the game that is in front of him. I can't say that Brayden's not playing the game here in the end. Again, he chooses to take out Beth instead of Tara, which is not what Ty wanted initially, at least. But that's pretty much the only thing that he has done that is his own. That's unfortunate. His saving grace is that he has an awesome personality. While his social game was very much lacking throughout most of the season, he is a very naturally likable person. And that, combined with the lack of competition wins, prevented him from being a threat worthy of being a primary target. He was often a secondary target, but very few times was he a primary target. And there's clear potential for Brayden if and when he decides to put in the work. But those moments are very rare in the game. His social game, again, needs work. He does not actively or strategically talk with people. He doesn't branch out. He barely speaks to his own allies if they're not his best friends. And he just kind of, he latches on to the people closest to him, and those are the people he spends time with. For me, social game is not that you are able to be generally likable. Social game is you're able to game your social ability and make connections with multiple people in multiple areas of the house. That is very much not Brayden. Brayden is a you're my person, and everybody else I'll just be like yes, yes, yes to, and then they'll be like, okay, well, Brayden's fine, I guess. Social game left a lot to be desired, but again, very likable person, very neutral, very inoffensive. And that can go a long way, especially in a house that is formatted in the way that this one was. And I do think, again, there are a couple of times in this game when Austin is evicted in the first half of that Beth HOH reign, we see that Brayden has some potential. He gets in with the trio and he's playing both sides for a few days there, and you can see that there's potential. He's put in a place where he is having to actively play the game a little bit, and he does well. If Brayden was actively playing the game more often, I think that he would have been able to put himself in much better positions. Obviously, he is in here in the end game, but that does not necessarily mean that he played a good game to get there. I do think he's capable of playing a good game. I think that his awesome personality and his ability to be very inoffensive and non-threatening to people can work for him very well in the game if he applies it in a more active way. But in this game, that is not really what happened. That's just sort of where we stand. It does not mean, however, that he can't win this game. His bond with Ty is easily the most valuable thing he has, and he plans to go to the final two with Ty. And Ty has really dropped the ball on with his jury management lately. We obviously can't know if Braden would have wanted to go to the final two with Ty, even if he hadn't screwed up his jury management. But either way, it may work out for him. I mean, I think if we're looking at this situation, we're looking at Braden being willing to go to the end with Ty. And he said in the diary room that he thinks he can beat Ty. Now, I don't know if he thinks he can beat Ty because it's become obvious that Ty sucks at jury management, or if he thinks he can beat Ty because he just wants to go to the end with Ty anyway. If Ty hadn't screwed up his jury management with Jed and Beth, would Braden still want to go to the end with him? Because if he hadn't, I don't think Braden would be capable of beating Ty, and he would have a better shot against Tara. But Ty did screw up his jury management. So it's a tough situation. I mean, honestly, I think that Braden probably would be going to the end with Ty, regardless of whether he screwed up his jury management. But it's impossible to know. And at the very least, we seem to be hearing from Braden that he does think he can beat Ty, and he may not be wrong. So if Braden wins this game, it's going to be because he is a very likable guy. He knows how to make people feel comfortable when he talks to them. And he survived to the end game, where he was able to pull out some wins and sit next to somebody who didn't have good jury management. And he got lucky that the person that he wanted to work with ended up not having good jury management. If he loses, it's because he is a very, very passive player, and he never made enough of an impact on the jury, or did not put himself in a position where he was able to secure a spot to the final two, again, because of how passively he played the game. So that's Braden. I did work hard to try to pull as much positive as I could into this recap, because I do like Braden a lot. I think that he has a lot of potential in this game, but when it comes to what happened in the game, there's not a lot to praise. But I do think that if he gets this win, it is definitely a deserved one. I think that it's not going to be the best win. It's not going to be the most dominant win or anything like that. But at the end of the day, there is something very valuable to being a very likable person and being able to not piss people off. You'd think that's easy. You'd think that's a given, but people are not able to do it most of the time. So you gotta give him some credit for that. That's Braden. That's where we're at. So that's what I have for you for Braden here. It's definitely been an interesting game for him. But that's where we are. I will be talking about Kiefer on Thursday. So tomorrow we'll be taking a day off. It'll be good to have an extra day to prepare for Kiefer anyway. This also gives me the opportunity that if on Wednesday night Kiefer ends up being evicted anyway, then maybe we end up not having to do it at all. The plan is for Thursday morning, the morning of the finale, I will go over Kiefer's game. If of course he ends up staying in that episode, which is definitely possible, because we do not know what could have happened in that in that hour before the eviction actually happened. We know that these people love to change their minds. So we may have just talked about Braden for nothing, but that's the plan for now. So nothing tomorrow morning. Do not expect anything tomorrow morning. But keep an eye out for Thursday morning. And that's what we've got. So tonight we're going to have our last during the season roundtable, where we're going to be rating these players and their chances to win and everything like that. And that should be a lot of fun. You can find the survey for the tonight's roundtable on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. If you want to fill it out, rate the players yourself. Try to predict the jury votes. There will be a survey there you can find on my Twitter page that I'll be tweeting out very soon. And then on Wednesday, we'll be recapping the Wednesday night episode. Thursday, we'll be live. I'll be live during the episode on Thursday on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, watching the episode with you guys, reacting to it in the moment. And then after the episode, we'll be live to recap the finale of Big Brother Canada 9, where we will crown a winner of the season. And oh boy, will that be fun. I mean, what a great cast. I mean, these game recaps so far, they're not the most impressive game recaps, right? Like the games that have been played have not been the most impressive games in the world, but they were still fun. And they were fun because it was such a great cast and it was such a great season that there were things happening every week that were fun to go over. It's been a great season. I hope you enjoyed these game recaps. I know that if you're a fan of some of these players that you may have wished that they had been a little more complimentary game wise, but if it consoles you and if it's any consolation, I'm definitely a fan of them personality wise and cast and season wise. It's been such a pleasure, going over the season once again here, as we reach the end of it. So, thank you guys so much for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.